Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is a Royfield Brown production. Find others on iTunes.
All right. Your Honor.
This is Dumpty Dum, sponsored by Managers.
This is Dumpty Dum, a podcast about the archers and the goings on of Ambridge. It's P&Q here, Philippa Hall.
And Quentin Rayner.
And we're under strict instructions to give you the most drab, boring, naff podcast ride we possibly can. And no doubt Justin would describe you, our Dumpty Dummers, as perfectly competent provincials, but incapable of seeing the bigger picture. But we, however, beg to differ. Now, this week's Dumpty Dum actually is from the Ball family in New York.
Are you sure, Philippa? Are you sure it's not Stephen Bowden?
Yes, I am sure. First of all, I have to thank Stephen and the Ball family for being so very gracious and me being a complete numpty last week and playing Stephen's tune and saying it's from the Ball family. But this week, I can assure you, it actually is from the wonderful and very gracious Ball family in New York.
I'm proving that you are mortal, Philippa. You can make mistakes.
I did definitely make a mistake. It's when I saw the message from Stephen saying, you know, I hate to say it, but that's my Dumpty Dum. I was like, what? Oh, no. I've saved the files under the wrong name.
You were mortified.
I was.
I've never heard and seen her more mortified, dear listener.
So apologies for that, but that was a great Dumpty Dum. And on this week's podcast, we hear calls from Helen, Emily, Richard, young Keith, Witherspoon and Drew. Plus we have texts from Chris, Sean and Melly, as well as emails from Christine and Anon of Ambridge. Marvellous.
Philippa, is that a trumpet I see before you? You might as well blow it because nobody else will.
I prefer to blow a saxophone, I think, than a trumpet. But yes, we have something to celebrate, don't we, Quentin?
We do.
We don't want to be looking at all the ratings too much, but my eye did spy this week that in the podcast charts in the whole of the UK for our category, which is TV and film, our last episode was number 13. That's amazing.
I've chuffed a bit because I didn't really understand all these stats and you broke them down for me, but it's only the top 200, aren't they, that count or are counted.
Right.
Is that right?
Yes. You can only see I can only find out what are in the top 200, and it varies day to day. But I did take a screenshot of it as evidence. And also our listener numbers are up considerably as well. And it's just down to you lovely lot listening to us waffling on.
So thank you very much. And presumably you've got a poster size of that screenshot, have you? And you've put it up above the fireplace.
Yeah, framed, laminated, everything. Yeah, no, it's
wonderful.
We're delighted. Yes, yeah, we really are. And apart from celebrating that, Quentin, what else have you been up to?
Well, this week, I think I qualify this week, Philippa, and here's a fantastic pun, and I hope you get it. He says, building it up. I think I have become a Dumpty Dum influencer. I had the flu jab, haven't I, this week?
Yes, well done. How did you feel after it? Were you all right?
Well, I'm claiming to be an influencer because I reckon I pretty much fall into the Dumpty Dum demographic, don't I, really? I think we both do.
Yeah.
So, what else? It's probably the wrong word to use, but I suppose the highlight of my week was my uncle's funeral. At which I gave the eulogy, but it went very well. And the good thing about funerals is that you do meet up with people you haven't seen for years, don't you? Mm. And I bumped into somebody called Debs McKenzie, and I discovered that Debs is an Archer's listener. And like you, Philip, I just was on her, saying, oh, really? But I also discovered that she's never, ever listened to any podcast in her life.
What?
But she almost instantly joined our Facebook group under Deborah McKenzie and was welcomed by Witherspoon. It was flagged up and along with other joiners. So there's a chance that Debs McKenzie, hello Debs, if you're listening, could be listening to this podcast this week, the first she's ever listened to in her life. So, hey, that was a result. And I got a belated birthday present as well today, a fantastic Archer's mug. So oh. I'm a happy boy.
Oh, you must send me a photo of that, please. I'd like to see that very much.
One may appear on the Facebook group
page. Thank you very much. Well, I'm glad that the funeral went as well as it kind of done, and I'm sure your eulogy was excellent.
Thank you. How about you?
Yes, I've been to see the latest James Bond film. I know you're seeing it later today, so I won't give the game away, but I went with my best friend. We've been going to the cinema for decades, and she has this really irritating habit of guessing how it's going to end and telling me what she thinks.
Was she right?
Yes, she was, and I was so furious with her. So I think I'm going to have to come up with a new rule. The next time she does that, every time she does that, she's going to have to pay for the next cinema visit. I think that's...
Well, somebody on Twitter said that it made no sense until after Cuba. Does that make sense to you?
Frankly, just sitting in the dark without being able to access my mobile phone for nearly 3 hours, eating chocolate and drinking coffee, I was happy. I could sit there and watch the adverts and I'd be happy. It's the only time my brain sort of switches off from everything else. So, yeah, I thought it was great.
You were still thinking about the Archers, weren't you?
Yes, of course I was. But anyway, that's what we've been up to. And Quentin, what can we expect to appear in the Borsetshire Echo this week?
Well, the scriptwriter's obsession with food continues unsated, doesn't it? Vince got his just desserts when he tried to pull off an utterly crass and tasteless prank in a restaurant. Mm-hmm. Justin stuck his sticky fingers into Lillian's Make Me Give Up Smoking Marmalade. Ben, Beth, Josh and Jill tried to have their cake and eat it and still managed to, despite dropping it, while Jazza gave out pieces of kindness to Blake, known as sandwiches, to Sassanax. So, who is Stella, farm manager or undercover agent for Justin and Damara? Over lunch, slimy Elliot purred about remembering the amazing things she'd done for the company in Cambridge and always seeing eye to eye with her. Ahead of the BL board meeting, it seemed there's no time to spy. On his return, Lillian didn't twig about who he was schmoozing with, and then Justin lied through his teeth about disclosing Brian's plans to sell Home Farm to a shocked Stella. But Lillian did let slip that Jenny is keener to sell up than her husband. That surprised me. Right, let's have a quick spin through Chelsea learning to ride a motorbike with Jazza, shall we? Tracy said no. Tracy relented on the condition he stuck to 30 and bored her daughter into giving up. Out on the road, Chelsea persuaded him to go well over 30. Tracy sussed what happened and tore Jazza off a strip for tearing around and told him to get on his bike. Oh, before we get back to food, Amy announced to Alan she's giving up midwifery, citing her heart was no longer in it and just feeling worn out. Anyway, let's return to the bread and butter of the Archers, and we had Vince taking Ben and Beth out for a slap-up meal. While she popped to the loo, her father thought it would be hilarious to test her boyfriend's nursing skills by feigning having an anaphylactic shock. Beth, along with 5 million Archers listeners, was furious. Vince apologised for being an idiot with a sob story about his childhood, and Ben advised him to stop throwing money around and just be her dad, which seemed to chime with him. Beth was persuaded to give her father a second chance and then seemed perfectly okay about accepting a three-night stay in a London hotel with Ben. Scene of the week, though, was the one between Jazza and Blake after he'd been discovered by the lovable Scott and the prof sleeping in the hide. They left supplies and Jazza returned with more the following day. More importantly, though, he listened and offered support, friendship and trust, and was completely non-judgmental. His tribute to Jim was just lovely, and many a Twitter tear was shed. This week ended with Stella playing a blinder at the BL board meeting. She divided and ruled the bickering boys by mesmerising them with the monetization of soil management. At first, Justin pretended not to know her, and then conceded he did to Brian. Hey, what's going on? Are they related? Very dodgy. In the end, Home Farm's contract was renewed, and a rejuvenated Brian contemplated that maybe this dog hasn't had his day. Live another day, Brian. Live.
Oh, Quentin. Excellent. Always very, very good. Very clever. Well done. Bravo. Definitely something to celebrate. And we've got something else to celebrate. Well, there's bad news and good news, isn't there, Quentin, for a couple of weeks' time? The bad news is that you're taking a day off from Dumpty Dum.
I've decided a holiday is going to be a holiday, yeah. Yeah, I'm back to Cornwall and my wife said, we're having a holiday this time because last time I was down there, I did three podcasts and she said, come on, this time you're going to have a week off. So yes, but it's only for 1 week, so you can fill up the flags then because, announce it, here we go.
Yeah, so although we'll miss Quentin a lot that day, we have somebody else standing in. And that person is Joy. Yes, ooh. Joy from the Archers. Jackie Lai will be joining me for the episode of Dumpty Dum. We'll do it in the usual way, but there will also be some questions that you can ask for Joy, for Jackie, the joyful Jackie, the Jackie of Joy. And really looking forward to having her on and talking to her. So that's going to be in 2 weeks' time, the 24th of October. We'll record it and I'll should be getting it out that day as normal. So if you've got any questions for Joy, you can call them in now from any point on SpeakerPipe, but just say at the beginning of the call, question for Joy, so I know to keep that, not use it for next week, but keep it for the week after when Joy is on. I can't wait to talk to her. I've got
or
so
I guess
much
they could they could email as well, couldn't they, in their question?
Oh, yes. Yeah, absolutely. Good point,
Quentin. Via our website, dumptydum.com.
Anything. As long as you just start it, the text, the email, the call with question for Joy, then I'll know. And I'll try and include as many of your questions as possible.
Oh, I'm envious. I'd love to meet Joy.
Yes, it's going to be great fun. I will miss you a lot, Quentin, but you're only allowed one day off, I'm afraid. That's it.
That will be that'll be a great listen. Yes, I look forward to that.
So that's all that's happened in Ambridge and Dumpty Dum over the last week. But what did you, our battle-hardened Dumpty Dummers, make of it all?
Hello, Ambridge 3962.
And first of all, we have Helen, who has some thoughts about Stella.
Hello, Philippa, Quentin and everybody in Dumpty Dumland. It's Helen from Rotherham here. Just got a few things to say about this week in Ambridge. Firstly, Stella. I was really confused when it was revealed at the beginning of the week that she knew Justin. And I was a bit concerned, thinking, oh, you know, her and Justin have both got very bad motives, perhaps, and want to kind of infiltrate Home Farm. And, you know, they've got some kind of plan up their sleeves. But then when it was revealed that she had told Brian that she knew Justin and that it was Justin that kind of tipped her off about the job, I was suddenly thinking, oh, actually, maybe she's a good egg. I still don't trust Justin one bit. He's definitely got some kind of dodgy motives going on. But I still can't work out whether Stella is just naive to the fact that Justin is like a baddie in this situation, or whether she knows and she didn't want Brian to tell Justin that he knows that she knows that she's told him that she knows Justin, because actually she wants to play Justin and use that to her benefit. So I'm not sure how that's going to pan out, but I'm quite interested to see how that goes. I quite like Stella as a character. Secondly, Ben. I realise he's only just started his training, but I thought it was very basic first aid knowledge to go straight to saying, where's your EpiPen in that kind of situation. So I was a bit disappointed and a bit confused about that. And lastly, Jazza. I just love how this is playing out with Blake. I think it's quite realistic that he would need that kind of person to relate to him rather than like the Lindas and the Roberts who were doing a really great job and really trying, but not on his level. And I really love the character progression of Jazza coming from this kind of silly man who's never really serious to this really lovely man with Tracy and with Blake as well. So anyway, yes, thank you for the podcast.
Lovely to hear from you again, Helen. We always do love hearing from our Helen from Rotherham, so keep them coming, Helen. Yes, Stella, she was an interesting character this week, and your call really is one of those when did you know that you knew conundrums, isn't it? You get lost halfway through it. And in my summary, I said, yeah, what was going on? Because it was all a bit odd. Justin pretending he didn't know her and then scurrying away, having admitted to Brian that he did. So I don't know. I thought it was rather clunky writing. I just didn't ring true at all. And what is the level of his relationship with her? Plenty of speculation on Twitter that are they related? Is she a long lost daughter or a niece or mistress or goodness knows what? It was all a bit cozy, wasn't it? As he lunched with Twiggy. Also, quite a few people complaining that Stella has become far too familiar far too quickly with Brian. He is, after all, her boss, and they're like talking like father and daughter almost straight away, and far too, as I said, familiar for some people. I think that's her style. I mean, she's very direct, very blunt. Yes. It's quite refreshing, actually.
Yes.
She doesn't defer. She gets straight to the point. Personally, I quite like that approach, and it drives the narrative far more quickly. But people who like more of a slow burn are not happy with that. Justin is obviously up to something. Has he got his eye on Home Farm? Will it mean Brian and Jenny back in at least the house? We shall see. You thought Ben's basic first aid knowledge was pretty poor, not knowing about EpiPens and so forth. Is that tough on Ben? Does everybody know about EpiPens? I certainly do. Our son has a nut allergy, so we're very, very aware of that. And personally, I found that prank extremely offensive and tasteless and crass, actually. I thought they could have come up with another one, if you like, that wasn't so offensive, because that's serious. That is really serious. And it really rankled with me and as I said in my summary, 5 million other Archers listeners. I think Ben just panicked, didn't he? But I mean, he needs to not panic in future. You're right, Helen, if he becomes a nurse. But I suppose he'd claim he hasn't started his training yet. Or has he? I'm a bit lost on that, but he's only just started. And yeah, Jazza, the character progression is wonderful. I mean, over the years, he was a bit of a fringe comedy character, but they've clearly seized on him and his potential, and they're drawing him out. And the love for the man on Twitter is overwhelming. I mean, his female fans are queuing up to nurse his cut finger, I can tell you. So Jazza is now becoming a major character in the Archers, and I love that dynamic with Jim. That really is a jewel.
Yes, yeah, it absolutely is. And Helen, what a great call! You're a superstar. Thanks for calling in. This issue with the nut allergy, I think in a way the script writers chose such a provocative issue, the nut allergy, to make us all dislike Vince. You know, it wasn't one. I mean, admittedly, initially I thought, is this a bit of a prank? But it's such a serious thing that we all went, oh, gosh. And so I hope it was done deliberately to show that I've been right about Vince all this time. Anyway, we won't go on about that.
He showed himself up, didn't he?
He did, yes. I mean, Ben is 3 weeks into his nursing course.
Okay.
I've got no medical training, but I know an EpiPen is is of use, and that drinking water is not going to help. Why? If someone is suffering from a nut allergy and has eaten a nut, would you suggest they drink water? Surely that's just going to make it even worse. I mean, it reminded me of my time at school and how whatever ailment you had, witch hazel was produced and used for you. If you'd hit yourself, if you felt ill, if you had an allergy, anything, it was witch hazel. They had this bottle of witch hazel and it was used for everything. So
you still smell it.
Yes, and it takes me back. And Jazza, yes, I loved hearing him with Blake. I was intrigued that he said his hands were clean for once, and I didn't know if Jazza was going to launch into a manicure advert or something. But the minute Tracy was talking to Jazza about Jim's shelves and said, oh, if Jim needs more space for books, he should throw some books away, I'm sorry, that should be blasphemous. We never talk about throwing books away. So yes, I need to hold the script writers up to account for that.
Well, I mean, as someone who's spent weeks clearing out my father-in-law's house, and he had millions of books, what do you do with, I mean, one can obviously take them to charity shops and so forth, but when there are so many of them, what do you do? And you can't sell them?
You can bury me with my books. I'd be very happy with that. Yes, it'll line the coffin nicely. But there
so
we
you,
go.
You would no. always you would always find a home for any book, would you?
Well, no, that is true, because I do get a lot of books in. I get a lot of proofs to read. So I have got different people that I know will enjoy them. So I do hand them round.
But
if it's a good one, though, I want them to come back eventually, and then I can put them on my best books bookshelves. But it's not allowed.
Okay. All right.
But there we go. Just saying. But no, great call, Helen. Thank you ever so much for that. And now we go to Richard, who has views on the mixed representation of certain characters.
Hello, Richard from Poland, the only dumber in this wonderful country. A few reflections. I am used to characters evolving and swaying between the appalling and quite friendly. There's been a lot of that lately. Up till now, I've been quite impressed by Vince and thought that he's underrated, but his behaviour last week at that dinner was beyond dreadful. I'm used to disliking Linda for her snobbishness and deceptiveness and general creepiness, and yet she was wonderful in the hospital with Blake. And we've had Jazza move from being utterly irresponsible motorcycle instructor when specifically forbidden to do anything exciting through to being a really great person dealing with Blake and beginning to give Blake someone to trust. And I just think that bigger character change within 1 week is too much from Jazza. Let these swings between appalling and nice be slower, please. I'd like to know whether I'm pro someone or anti someone. I hope that Blakey gets much better access to professional therapy and support than Alice did. His problem is obvious out in the open and he needs support. The scriptwriters didn't look after Alice properly. I hope they look after Blakey a bit better. And finally, I think there's something odd about the situation with the board meeting. In business, if something is too good to be true, it usually is, and suddenly Stella is the hero of the moment from saying things which presumably would have been obvious to anyone who knows about agriculture and farming, which I don't. And I'm convinced that Justin and maybe Stella are up to something. I sense an evil plan being hatched, but I don't know what it is. That's all from me. Best wishes to everyone.
Oh, thank you, Richard. Yes, I love the idea of Stella and Justin being up to something. I don't consider them to be related. That's just my personal view on it. But there's some scheming there. And I think that would make a very interesting storyline. I'm interested in hearing more about that. And yes, I agree with you about the sort of the swings from someone that's nice to nasty. And I don't know how to view people. I'm almost getting giddy with some of the swings we've had lately. And Jazza is the prime example that he was brilliant with Blake, but then how he acted with Chelsea on the motorbike. And I'm sure we'll be talking more about that later.
But he's a people pleaser, isn't he? He couldn't help himself wanting to
yes.
to give Chelsea a thrill as a pillion passenger.
That's true. But we've had swings with other characters as well. I mean, Eddie recently with that awful flower and produce competition.
Yes, true.
I mean, Alice, as we've had significant swings in character from the nice, that's overly
the
nice.
That's the booze, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. We've had Neil. Is he in love with Susan or is he in love with Shula? You know, and we've had Shula. Oh, I'm the pious one. Oh, I covet somebody's husband. You know, all of that. So there's been quite a bit going on. And Richard, you say that you're the only listener in Poland. Well, I presume you're saying that because you're the only one on Traktor on the Dum-de-Dum website that's showing in Poland. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go to the Dum-de-Dum website and there's something there called Traktor where you can put in your approximate location and see if there's anybody else near you. But Richard, I have been doing some research for you.
Oh, that's a surprise.
Yes.
Have you been stalking the good listeners in Poland, have you?
Yes, so I've hired a private jet, I've flown over to Poland and I've walked around shouting, anybody listen to the Archers? And anybody that said yes, I rounded up and I can confirm, Richard, that there are 16 Dum-de-Dum listeners in Poland.
Are there really?
Yes, there are at this moment in time, as of this morning. So take heart, Richard, that you're not on your own. They just haven't put their location on Traktor. So
that's a big character swing for Richard, isn't it? He thinks he's the only one.
Very good.
You're one of 16, Richard.
Yes. Yes.
He's going to need a sit down after that. Well, I'm very impressed, Philippa, about the depth of how much you mine information about our listeners and the program.
Thank you.
Phenomenal. Fantastic. Richard mentioned how he's not a fan of Linda, but he thought that Linda was wonderful in that hospital scene with Blake, which she was. Mm. And it reminded me of one of my favorite scenes in recent months when she was in hospital and was visited by Lillian. And there was that lovely bedside scene when Lillian came to see her. So it was a bit of a mirror of that, wasn't it, with Linda then caring and listening to Blake and reassuring. So when they write well for Linda, they write really, really well, don't they? And she performs it so well. And that front drops and you see the human being behind. And her intentions and Robert's intentions were good, weren't they, last week? But they just blew it and made him feel completely uncomfortable. And that's why... that's why Jazza was so good with him, because he was on his level and he felt comfortable with him, and he didn't challenge him, did he? He just listened. And whenever he got prickly about Kirsty, he didn't again challenge him about that. He just let him become more at ease. So I thought there was some very good acting. There's some very good writing as well. And I also, a big shout out as well, and I've tweeted about this morning, I thought the sound engineers played a blinder this week as well on the Archers, because that scene when Vince was arguing through the door with Beth and that scene when Chelsea was a pillion passenger, just listen to them again, because they were brilliantly balanced in terms of it really did sound like Vince was having to talk through a thick door, didn't it?
It did. I wasn't quite so sure about the cake scene, I have to say. And I know I've seen the photos that they took of the cake that they dropped to make the noise, but it looked more like a Black Forest Gatto or something. Anyway, we'll come on to that later. But yes, some good sound scenes, but one I did have to query.
But I mean, just tiny details. When Jazza had his helmet on, when Chelsea had a helmet on, it sounded like they had a helmet on. It's just tiny little details like that I love. So, you know, we never applaud the people behind the glass enough, and so I'm going to applaud them. I thought they did a great job, apart from the cake dropping, which I didn't really clock because I was so bored by the whole thing anyway that I'd switched off. I wanted to throw cake at the radio by that stage. Oh, God, please, come here. Can that be the end of it?
It was interesting hearing what happened with Blake and Linda and Robert this week from Blake's point of view, because having listened to it the previous week, yes, they sounded a bit sort of over the top and this 3-course, 10-course extravaganza that they were giving him. But to then hear it from his point of view about encouraging him, you know, to wear Robert's clothes and have a bath, and Linda going on at him, and that Philip Moss had said to him, you know, you never talk to the owners of a house. So his mind has been messed with so much by Philip Moss, and still not wanting to see Kirsten, still not accepting things. As Richard says, he's going to need professional support in good time, but there's a journey before that can happen, presumably. But there we go. That is Richard's call. Thank you very much. And now we come on to Emily. And Emily wants to talk about the Canadian Thanksgiving.
Hi, guys. It's Emily from Canada calling. Philippa, you wanted to know my pedigree, I think you called it. So the first baby that was born after I started listening to the Archers was Rosie Archer. You wanted to know a little bit about me? Well, as you know, it's Emily from Canada, and I'm married with two teenagers. I have a five-year-old golden retriever named Finn, and I am a professional writer and editor. So Monday is Canadian Thanksgiving, and so I just thought I would share the things Archers related that I am thankful for. So most recently, I am really thankful for the Jazzer and Blake connection. That was such a gratifying thing to listen to, and I think gave us all pause for thought about what we would do in a similar situation, how we might approach Blake. Emma with her tirade to Brian about the referring to the Aldriches as a bunch of stuck up, emotionally vacant losers, favorite line so far of all time, and the new Linda, who just seems slightly less obnoxious than the old Linda, and we've really had a chance, I think, to see her heart, which has been really great. So I also just wanted to give thanks for the Kingdom of Dumpty Dum. I actually sought out Dumpty Dum in the spring. I mean, I didn't know that Dumpty Dum existed, but I was looking for a community of people that were also suffering the trauma of Alice's alcoholism. And I figured if I felt really miserable listening to it, there must be other people in the world that did too. And here I discovered the glorious community of people who commiserate and debate and celebrate together. And Dumpty Dum, I have to say, is an absolute joy.
Oh, thank you, Emily. This is becoming quite an international episode of the Dumpty Dum, isn't it? We've had one from Poland, and now we've got Emily from Vancouver, and I know we've got some others coming in from around the globe. So happy Thanksgiving for tomorrow, Emily, in Canada, because we're recording this Sunday. And I'm glad we give you so much joy. And talking of joy, we will have joy on, won't we, on October the 24th.
Oh, blah. Yeah.
Ah, this podcast isn't just thrown together like a dropped cake. we've already started to discuss the Jazzer and Blake connection. I think that's going to be an interesting one. And I think Blake is in Ambridge for a bit. As we mentioned last week on the podcast, he's got a surname, Goddard. Therefore, that means that he's staying in the village. And he'll be putting up Jim's shelves, speculation that perhaps maybe Jim might ask him to eventually live with him if Jazza moves in with Tracy. Mm. That's a long burner. We shall see. Always good to hear that brilliant line, to be reminded of that brilliant line. You're just a bunch of stuck-up emotional losers. That was a corker, wasn't it? So thank you for reminding us of that one, Emily. And again, as we've already alluded to it, I think I just said it, I like it when Linda's facade drops and we see the real Linda, the human being, the warm-hearted soul that she is. So I share that joy of that as well, Emily. And I'm glad that we're here for you to commiserate with, because frankly, that's our sole purpose in life, isn't it? To help us through the trauma of listening to five episodes a week and just clinging on to those nuggets of joy.
Yes, happy Canadian Thanksgiving, Emily, and everybody in Canada, that's certainly a celebration. I mean, talking of celebrations, when is the Harvest Supper actually going to happen in Ambridge? Because they've been talking about it. We had ours last week, so I don't know what's going on. And I just want to hear this occasion when everyone arrives with puddings, because Ruth and David haven't quite organised the rota properly. Maybe it's just not going to happen. Maybe I built it up and it's just not.
We don't need any more food in the arches. Oh, that's so...
Food and books, that's what we need. Now, Quentin, yes, you have suggested that we drop this long-standing rule of dum-de-dum that first-time caller-in-errors need to tell us a little bit about themselves and their pedigree.
I feel, yes, because you've got to be brave enough anyway, haven't you, to come onto our podcast. You're very welcome to. There's nothing to be frightened of, but for some people it takes a lot. And yes. then if we demand even more things from you, it's like an initiation ceremony, isn't it? So I think... Let's drop that and just come on. You can tell us if you like, but you're not obliged to.
Well, if anybody is offended by Quentin's vote, like Borchester Land, to drop the tradition, then let me know and I will hold him to account. I think you're particularly referring to what I said to Emily last week, but I know Emily and she knows I was just, because she was nervous about doing her first call, which she did brilliantly last week.
She did.
And so I wanted to trap her into having to call again, which she did.
Which worked, yeah.
So maybe we
ought to not drop it. Because we always need your calls, everybody's. But I think rather than demanding it, it's entirely up to you. Yeah.
Okay. Well, if anybody's got a problem with that, let me know, and I will hold a Borchester Land meeting immediately.
Because Philippa likes the tradition. She likes the traditions, don't you?
I'm an old school kind of girl, and yes, I like the traditions. I went through it, and it's just a bit of fun. But
people feel bad if they forget. You see.
No, but it's fine to forget. It just means we want you to call back in. It's a good thing. It's positive.
Then you always feel in the past, you just slag them off saying, why didn't you tell us about when you started listening and all that?
Well, I wasn't. I was just gently encouraging another call. Yeah. But anyway, I'm thankful for lots of things. I'm thankful for dum-de-dum.
I'm just thankful for calls.
Yes. I'm thankful for the whole dum-de-dum community. I'm thankful for Quentin, the whole team. And to Emily, who's been very supportive.
Is this an Oscar-winning speech or something?
No. Anyway, excellent call, Emily. Thank you very much. Can't wait for your next call. No pressure. Now we go to young Keith, who seems to think he's not been missed, but he has had to call us to tell us about some ham acting.
Hello. It's young Keith here. It's been a while. And I won't apologise, because I'm sure, A, no one gives a shit, and anyone who was aware of it, probably grateful. But it's been a while since I've participated. I have been listening intermittently to what is always a high-quality show. A couple of grumbles, really, and it's a rare one for me, because I'm very appreciative of the Archers actors, and I understand that for a lot of people... Look, it's a difficult gig, isn't it, being an Archer's actor, and bloody more power to him. But Chris, I don't mind Chris, but the actor who plays him, if he's sad or emotional, he cannot pull it off. And there's been a lot of sad and emotional Chris these days, and it sounds so fake and annoying. But even worse than that, and it's, I almost have to turn it off sometimes, and I hate to say this because she's just doing her job, but... the actor that plays Amy is awful. It sounds like a bloody sixth form sort of, you know, like an A-level end of year assessed show performance. And I just can't get into it. And if I'm out of order for saying that, well, bloody string me up. But it's what I think. And I've got to share it. And I'm sorry if other people disagree. I'm sorry if people do agree. But... that's what I think. Anyway, have a lovely evening and a lovely week.
Thank you so much, young Keith. Young Keith, the adventurer, returns to Dum-de-Dum. Thank you for your kind words about the podcast. Does mean a lot. A difficult gig being an archer's actor, you say. Yeah, I'd agree. Especially these days with podcasts and Twitter and Facebook and everyone, all of us analysing the words that they say and how they say them. But I guess it's a difficult gig because it's a massive gig, you know, to be on the archers is one of the top radio jobs you can possibly have. Now you're trying to pull apart the actor who plays Chris, and he's a delightful young man. I know I sound like Dawn French when I say young man. He's a delightful young man from the Games of Thrones. So I'm ever so sorry, but I can't allow any words that aren't positive to be used for him, young Keith. I do apologise for that. And Amy, well, yes, but has she been asked to act like that? You know, she's a really capable actor. So I think that's how she's been tasked to play the part. I really hope, though, that Amy finds a job that she enjoys. Can she please be bisexual at least and set up house with Stella? That would be good. And young Keith, just don't leave it so long. We need your words, your wisdom and your good humour.
We do. Love to hear from you again, young Keith. It's been far too long, and we'll take that. High quality show. Thank you very much indeed, Keith. Difficult gig being a Archer's actor. I think actors will give their high teeth for that, especially if it's a big part and it's guaranteed work for decades, isn't it? So I don't know. I can imagine harder ones. It must be difficult when you've been silent for weeks and months, I think. But you know, there is huge scrutiny now from the likes of us and on social media. So yeah, you've got to be on your game. And I've got some sympathy, frankly, with you, Keith, with your assessment of the performances. Chris, I think, needs more gears. Does that mean that's because of his acting or because of the writing or because of the direction? You never know, because until you meet these people in real life, you don't know their range, do you? But I do feel he's gotten a bit of an emotional rut, and his responses are pretty predictable and a bit annoying at times. I mean, when they went up to read their letters out to Alice, he just petered out. You think, oh, come on, man. So he's started to irritate me. I'm with you on that, Keith, and he needs more range. He needs more range.
Goodness.
I know. They've got to be honest. I mean, you're just blinded by Game of Thrones, clearly. And Amy, I've said this already, I think she's dull. I do. I think she's boring. And I don't know whether that is, again, has she been written that way? Has she been told to play it that way? Or is that's the way she's chosen it? She needs to really up her game, because she's boring the pants off me at the moment, I've got to say. And she's given up her midwifery job. I mean, can you imagine giving birth to with her in the room? I mean, you know, you meant to be exhilarating, fantastic, enthusiastic moment. You got Amy saying, "It's a boy."
No, it'd be very calming. It would really
boring.
Help you. It'd be calming. And, you know, you can't all have real live wires in characters, because it would make the listening of it exhausting. But so we need some of these different ones. We need these different threads
thread
together to give us this wonderful tapestry picture.
But you've got to make it interesting in some way, even if it's for negative reasons. There's got to be some angles to her character, but she's just a blank page. And so you were talking of a bisexual relationship with Stella. That's a new one. Wow.
Yeah.
She's got a clause, and she wants to get a clause into Chris, doesn't she?
Well, I
suppose
think
she can have both. Stella and Chris. Yes.
That would be interesting.
Well, that would perk them both up, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Amy and Chris.
That would be something. I mean, I think we should have a scene with Chris, Amy and Adam, like a bore-off.
Adam would win that one.
Yeah, exactly. So let's step away.
Undisputed.
Yes, we do get trouble on our Facebook group, don't we? On the Dum-de-Dum Facebook group, when we say anything.
Well,
about...
yeah. I mean, you know, we as and when we are honest about it. But I'm genuinely curious as to whether they've been directed that way or whether that's the way they've decided to do it.
Young Key, thank you for your call. We look forward to you calling in again, please. We'll have some more of your calls in a moment. But if you're listening to this thinking, I'd like to record a message and wondering how to do it, here's how.
Yes, as we always say, we do like to think of this as the People's Podcast. So if you want to record a message or a plot prediction, as others have, as you've heard so far, well, one way is to visit the dumptydum.com website, where you can click the red SpeakPipe link, which you'll find on the left-hand side, and then submit your call. Now, I promise you it is ever so easy, and you can have as many goes as you like, so don't worry. Another way to send a recorded message is to send a WhatsApp voice note to this number, 07957 167 696. That's 07957 167 696. Of course, if you are calling from outside the UK, make sure you add a plus 44.
Speaking of the website, you'll find a link there as well to Patreon, where you can financially support the show. Royfield's been going on again about how many costs are involved with steering the good ship Dum-de-Dum and wants us to talk about it a little bit more. So your help would be greatly appreciated, and it means we won't get told off quite as much as we currently are being told off. But anyway, let's get back to those calls. And first of all, we hear from the upper lower East West Side. It's Witherspoon with some strong views on Vince and Jazza.
Hey baby, I hear the blues are calling, toss salads and scrambled eggs. Mercy.
Greetings, Philippa, Quentin, and all Dumpty Dummers around the world. It's Witherspoon and Angus Haggis here. I just finished re-listening to the week's episodes while working out at the gym, and I thought they were excellent. So kudos to the scriptwriters. It was a tough few days for Ben, and Beth as well. First, he had to deal with his obnoxious older brother and l'affaire de gâteau. And then he had to deal with Vince, who is Josh grown up and on steroids. I'm repeating myself for those in our Facebook group, but what Vince did was hideous and reflects the very flawed person he is. In reviewing his Oscar-worthy scene, I realized that Vince had to have given it some serious prior thought, because he gave a good number of details about his imaginary nut allergy. Plus, he even ordered a nut-containing dessert, which set it all up. Vince seems to be a very accomplished and facile liar. In addition, Vince made a couple of cutting comments about Ben, and he could have created a very serious situation if an ambulance had been called and diverted from a real medical emergency. But hey, all in the service of a good practical joke. I thought Ben should have been more supportive of Beth, and that Vince's ultimate self-reflection and apology was really not that strong. So I do not forgive Vince, and I hope he gets hit by a truck. Now, a few thoughts about Jazzer. We saw him at his best with Blake, empathic, humorous, and caring, without being too intrusive. He knew to step back when Blake became angry after he mentioned Kirsty. However, I really thought he showed his immature side and let Tracy down when he allowed Chelsea to talk him into doing the exact opposite of what Tracy had asked him, with good reason, to do. I'm curious what others thought about that. Talk to you soon.
So yes, thank you, Witherspoon. Another international call, that one from New York. I agree with you, Witherspoon. I think it was an excellent week for the scriptwriters, and it's good when it's consistent throughout the whole week. I think, isn't it? I think they've now got one writer per week, and it's showing, doesn't it? Because it was a bit hit and miss before. We've discussed Vince already. As I said, I completely agree with you, Witherspoon. For personal reasons as well as ethical reasons, I thought what he did was hideous. And yes, it did reveal what a flawed character he is. I hadn't thought about it quite so closely as you had in the gym, that he carefully planned it. And you're right. And that makes him even more dislikable, I think. So, yes, well spotted, well spotted. And as you say, he's a facile liar. Jazza, you were complimentary about, as well as critical of. Wonderful with Blake, as we've discussed. You think he showed his immaturity. is that the right word, immature? I'd said that before. He's a people pleaser, isn't he? He can't help himself, which I suppose might be immature. I think he's desperate to step up and be a potential stepfather. And I think Tracy really wants him to prove that he is, but she's got she needs a lot more convincing before she accepts him. And my word, God, she can be cruel, can't she? She can be really vicious. Well, this is just between me and Chelsea. You aren't family, you know. Sent him on his ear, and he weren't even brought up properly or something. I mean, God, she can be brutal, can't she, Tracy? She flies off the handle, doesn't she? And then, to be fair, she did apologise after one of them.
Yeah, she's very passionate and she's very protective of her daughter, who, you know, she sees motorbikes. She's clearly got a fear of motorbikes, because when she did go on the ride with Jazza, she absolutely hated it. And she sees it as danger, I think, and is just worried. She went into full mama bear mode, I think, then.
Oh, yes. I mean, I'm the same. The thought of my kids being on a motorcycle fills me with absolute horror. Mm. But she didn't hold back, did she? She gave him both barrels. And it's a shame, because they always have that yin and yang, don't they? They yes. seem to be getting on. You think, oh, yeah. And then something happens and he normally disappoints her. And but he's desperately... He's beyond fond of her, isn't he? I mean, they're falling in love, really, aren't they?
Yeah, isn't it lovely? But for me, it showed me that yes, Jazza has changed from the person he used to be, but he's not completely one-dimensional now, that he's still human and still makes mistakes. And in a way, that makes me like him all the more. Not that I'm encouraging him to take Chelsea on a motorbike speeding, of course, but it's just, you know, he's not perfect, and we've seen the progression that Jazza's made throughout his time in Ambridge, and it's lovely to see him taking more responsibility at times and being kind and nice, but still he's not perfect.
He's not the finished article, is he?
No, but isn't that real life? I mean, you know, we'll strive to do our best. It's like me with that dum-de-dum getting it mixed up. I try my best, but I still make mistakes.
I thought you were an unflawed diamond, Philippa.
Oh, Quentin. are you saying that sincerely or sarcastically? Don't answer that. I'm just going to take it sincerely.
Yeah. Take it.
Yeah. I love Witherspoon's term of l'affaire de gâteau. I thought that was excellent.
Yeah.
It's Witherspoon's call, actually, that changed my mind about Vince, because I did take the scene more as a joke initially. Mm. Obviously, no. A horrible joke. And I wouldn't want anyone to take that as something that they should then play out on others, because it's just awful. But Witherspoon has helped me see other aspects of that scene, and particularly, you know, if an ambulance had was being called and diverted from somewhere else. And it's just it for Ben, for Beth as well, and for the people in the restaurant. It's just entirely wrong. So thank you for that.
Yeah, call. He showed himself up big time, didn't he?
Yes. I mean, there are some families that are always playing practical jokes on each other, and I accept that, but I don't get that dynamic. Beth doesn't have that essence in her, so it didn't strike me. But I just thought, well, if Vince can act that well in that situation, is he acting like that in other situations, you know, sucking up to Elizabeth? What is the real Vince?
He's another kid, isn't he? I mean, we're saying, Witherspoon suggesting that Jazza's immature, and Vince showed his immaturity, didn't he?
Well, and when Witherspoon said Vince is like Josh on steroids, that's a very interesting comparison, because I've always been a fan of Josh until this week.
But yeah, I mean, all the men were boys this week, really, weren't they? I mean, all the stupid men in that board meeting who played brilliantly. Yeah.
Yeah, and it was all throughout this week. It was all men lying to women, men talking over women. Yes. Sorry.
What do you mean, men talking over women? What do you mean, Philippa?
You're bullying me. I'm dialing emergency services.
Another bad week for men, really. Well, not entirely bad. We had that you know, Jazza and Blake and yes. Jim. That was all. That was lovely. That was really nice.
Yes, it was. But they're very good. So thank you, Witherspoon, as always. And now we go to Drew, who has something to say about the Josh and Ben story.
Hello, Royfield, Lucy, Millie Bell, Yokel Bear, and everybody else at Dumpty Dum Towers. This is Drew calling from Tokyo. This Sunday's storyline of Toby and Rex, the Fair Brethren, both fighting over the same woman, is a bit tiresome, because to me it really just seems like a rehash of the situation from a few years ago when brothers Will and Ed were both in love with Emma. It just seems lazy on the part of the showrunners. Well, I guess there's nothing that I can do about it this time, but if they reuse the same old storyline again in the future, I'm going to protest by just reusing old Dumpty Dum calls. Well, if that ever happens, you'll both probably remember this call, as I assume that it'll still be the two of you hosting this podcast by then. Well, at least with the twins Freddie and Lily having passed their driving licenses, we're guaranteed not to get any more teenagers learning how to drive storylines for a while. That's lucky. Anyway, hope you all have a good weekend. As for me, I plan to sing karaoke in a poorly ventilated bar with a bunch of strangers. Have a good week, everybody.
Drew, that is such a hilarious call. When I first started listening to it, I thought, oh my goodness, he's time traveled. And yes, you have time traveled. So the big question I have is, was this a call that you originally did about 4 years ago, or is it a new one? I expect the next Dan Brown book to be written on this particular mystery. Very, very clever, Drew, about, yes, hope there won't be any more teenage driving stories. There were. And the times pass when we would happily skip into crowded rooms with poor ventilation. Actually, Quentin, we could really make a thing of this brilliant call from Drew, and just reuse old calls if we don't get enough, because the fallouts do ripple through, you know, when we're talking about the...
Our executive producer, Royfield, last week tried to preempt this, didn't he? He sent us an old call.
He did, that Bernadette. We started including, yes.
It completely threw us. And I mean, this call threw me when I first heard it, because I thought, oh, it's an old call that's come through. And I had to listen to it. Well, this is the third time I've heard it, actually. I just had to hear it again, just because you were messing with my head, Drew. Another international call from Tokyo. I love it. His point is, isn't it, that he's sick of the same old storylines getting regurgitated. And when he spells them out like that, he's right. They have flogged the fighting over the same woman storyline quite a lot, haven't they? And the learning to drive he's picked up on as well. But to be fair, Chelsea wants to learn to drive on a motorcycle, so there is a difference.
The stories that are being reused, it's always brothers, isn't it? I was thinking about this. We've had, obviously, William and Edward Grundy. We've had Rex and Toby Fairbrother. We've even had Eddie and Alf Grundy. And then going back, there was Jack and Phil Archer. So there's always been, not necessarily always about the same woman, but it's always fallouts between two brothers. And that does seem to be a consistent theme in the Archers. But Drew, I just thought that call was sensational.
Any fallouts between sisters? There must have been over the years.
Yeah, I mean, there've been some. I suppose there've been some elements like Lillian and Jenny, but not the structural and cracks.
Jenny fell out with Peggy, didn't she, over Alice?
Yeah, but that's mother daughter. That's
Alice and Kate. You have the old fight, don't you? But they resolve it pretty
again,
quickly.
Not the. Yeah. They're just more sort of consistent personality issues. Anyway,
you want to put the boot into men again, don't you, Philippa?
I'm not at all, because I'm bigging up Drew for that hilarious call. Anyway, so those are the calls, but you can also send us an email or a text if you prefer. So how can Dumpty Dummers do that, Quentin?
Yes, you are very welcome to send a text if you like, and that number to text to is this. 07957-167-696. That's 07957-167-696. As ever, if you're calling, or rather, if you're texting from outside the UK, then do add a +44. If instead you'd rather get on the old keyboard and send us an email, then visit the dumptydum.com website and click the Contact Us tab, which you'll find at the top of the dumptydum.com website. Please do get your calls, emails and texts in by lunchtime on a Sunday as we record this at around about 3 o'clock UK time. And also remember that you do need to be 18 or over to submit any views or comments.
And so we go from our caller inurers to our email and texter inurers.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And our first text this week is from Sean.
Hi, Philippa and Quentin. Sean here from Cardiff in South Wales. Second time texting in. We'll do better. Okay. Now, this week was all about Jazza, says Sean. I'm not a huge fan, which I know might be a bit controversial. It is. However, how he dealt with Blake was awesome. Bravo. He still has a lot to learn about how to handle Chelsea, though, and I can understand why Tracy was so upset, and he should have respected her wishes about the motorbike lessons. Quickly, Stella, I think she is related to Justin in some way, daughter or niece. Mm. Just glad she got one over him on him. He really is starting to get on my toot. Take care, everyone, and speak soon. We've touched on a lot of this already, Sean, so you have got the zeitgeist of this particular podcast, but not a fan of Jazza. We shall have to review that, won't we, Philippa?
Yes, I mean, you're right, it's the lies. Jazza saying, oh, cross my heart, she'll be so bored, she'll never want to ride a motorbike again. And Justin saying to Lillian, my lips are sealed.
They only
seem to be sealed with a pudding, not the secret.
Yeah, I just have visions of his lips and his spinach on his teeth. Yeah.
Yes, not nice. I was not impressed.
Sean's one of those who thinks they might be related, Justin and Stella.
Yes.
So this is gaining some traction. This is interesting.
I love how we're presented with these scenes in The Archers, and then we're all over-analysing and trying to read into it. Clearly, there's a history there. And I'm not convinced yet, but I am so often proved wrong. So Sean's probably right.
And I love that word, get on my toot. Let's use that phrase. I love that. Nice to hear from you again, Sean. Do text again or even call in, please.
Yes, definitely. And our second text this week is from Puzzled Chris from York. Hello. I am not clear how childhood poverty explains feigning death in a restaurant 50 years later. That is just odd. I am also baffled by the workings of the Home Farm Partnership Agreement. Do the partners delegate executive powers to Brian, Putin style? He appears to sack, agree deals with BL and decide to sell without any consultation with his partners. Finally, why is Jazza not in charge of COP26? He would sort it out. From Puzzled Chris from York. Yes, Jazza could solve a lot in the world, I think. definitely. But he could also make it worse, because in some ways I think he functions best on the small stage of Ambridge, where he's accepted and he's understood. And if he was propelled onto the world stage, while his endeavours might be right, I don't think he would function so well. And what sort of a board meeting is there when someone who's been asked to go there to speak has to shout, "May I finish?" really loudly over everyone? I've certainly never been to a board meeting like that.
But she held her own, didn't she?
She did.
She stormed that. She's fantastic. And Jazza at COP26, well, it is in Glasgow, isn't it? So he'd probably be the only one who'd be understood up there, wouldn't he? So maybe that's a smart move.
Good point.
Just about the whole BL business, somebody asked on Twitter, could somebody explain to me the whole Damara BL thing? And Susan Callar on Twitter came on and she gave this explanation, and fantastic. She says, Justin owns Damara, which bought 54% of BL in 2014, much to Brian's annoyance at the time. BL owns the 1,020-acre Barrow estate. Home Farm has the contract to manage Barrow's agricultural land and the shoot. The shoot, like the hunt, she says, never gets mentioned these days. So thank you very much indeed, Susan, because I, like many others, had completely lost the plot on BL and Damara and all that. So that was useful.
Excellent stuff. And we have another text, don't we, from Melly?
We do. We've texted out this week. Melly says, it is so hard to listen to Vince muck up. He reminds me of my dad, who was forever flexing and generally being an ass. He and Vince both acknowledge generational differences. I agree. I wish I had exercised more tolerance, but hindsight is a wonderful thing. Best wishes to all in Dumpty Dum land. Yes, Vince again, sitting on the naughty step for you, Millie, reminding you of your dad. And actually, one thing that puzzled Chris from York was saying was this, harking back to his tough childhood, justifying his behaviour. I don't buy. I mean, you know... No, it does not justify coming up with pranks like that and behaving like that and feeling that everything is valued and justified by money. So hopefully Ben has pulled him up, and I think he took stock, but will he change? Probably too old to change by now. But anyway, coming back to your text, Melly, you talk about hindsight being a wonderful thing, but I'm sensing you're not quite as forgiving as Beth is towards her father, so I won't pry. But thanks for texting in, Melly. It's great to hear from you.
Yes, Melly, thank you so much for your text. You need to text in, call in. We need to hear your lovely Scottish accent, please. Yes, it's a difficult one, because I can understand from your family with your father sort of playing up and flexing as you call it. It's difficult, because the scene we were presented with Vince was so extreme because of the nut allergy. I think that is what did it for everyone. If he just said, oh, the one thing I hate is nuts, say, or mushrooms or whatever, and then it was in the meal, that would have been something else. See Ben squirming and trying to sort that out. But it was... a very poisonous in the reality as well as in the scene. It was a poisonous act that he played, and it's a difficult one. But Melly, yeah, thank you for your tech. You were remembering the times with your father. I just thought that it was it went too far, and we have to judge Vince accordingly. I mean, I know Lillian's, I did love this bit when Justin came back and Lillian was eating all that she'd been cooking. She said, don't judge me, Justin, just be supportive. And I thought, yeah, that is spot on. I love that.
And when did she give up smoking? That they slipped that one,
yes,
in, didn't they?
Very well, clearly very recently, because I think that's just so, happened. So,
so
that's
now
why she's
making
cooking.
Vats of marmalade.
I thought it was marmalade pudding myself. But
well,
with
Madeira in, she said. I thought it was marmalade.
Yeah, I'm going to have to listen to that again for the fourth time now.
I couldn't hear because of all the slavering and eating noises from Justin. I don't like hearing eating noises on the arches.
I didn't really hear him eating it, and that made me think that it just
smacking his lips.
Wrong.
He's smacking his lips.
Anyway, thank you, Melly. Now we go to our first email this week, which is from Christine. And this must be formerly cycling Christine. There can be no other. Anyway, Christine is writing about Jazza. What a lovely scene with Jazza talking to Blake about the influence of Jim on him and how, despite being so different, Jim has had a profound influence on him and how they now have a deep mutual bond and how Jim is a father figure for him. It made me think about some of this week's happenings in the light of fathers, how Alan was brilliant with Amy and how Vince showed he has not been any good with Beth when all he had given was money. Totally missing, that is not what children need. Also, how Jazza was trying to be a decent stepdad and failing, but I'm sure he will come good in the end. Not remotely sure Vince will. I am not a Vince fan and thought it was very trite how a 5-minute chat with Ben could make him realise his mistake and come to his senses. Such a contrast to the moving writing between Jazza and Blake. Thank you, Christine, for that. Yes, Alan was so good with Amy.
Yeah, we forgot about him.
Yeah. I'll be interested to see what she does. It was a strange scene with Ben this week. Well, the scenes, I suppose, with Vince. And also the cake scene. I can't believe that he dropped it. It was just wrong. And as I said earlier, it sounded like a heavy blancmange falling, not a triple-layered cake with sugar work on the top. The photo...
Because you know your buttercream, don't you?
I do. Now, cakes, I do know, yes. And in the photo, it looked a bit like a Black Forest gâteau that they were using in the studio to drop. So there was that more sort of blancmange noise, which makes sense. But then I was a bit perplexed when Beth came in and she said, oh, where shall I put? I thought she said, where shall I put these 30 cups? She actually said dirty cups. But each time I listened to it, it sounds like 30 cups. I thought, oh, my goodness, how many people have they had around that house eating that cake?
Just you.
Yeah, just me. It's fine.
Yes, that was a very thoughtful email from Christine, actually. She packed an awful lot into a short email. And yes, she says it's very trite how the 5-minute chat could turn Vince around. I'm beginning to think he's a bit of a lost cause, actually. He is what he is. And I was a big fan of his, and I'm feeling a bit foolish now, to be honest. I am, because he's shown his real colours, I think. But Christine has never been a Vince fan, and she's been proved right. So well done, Christine.
And our second email this week is from Anon of Ambridge.
Oh, great. Yes, we got another one, haven't we, from Anon of Ambridge. And I'll be honest, I've read this three times, and I still haven't got an answer for you, Philippa, or Anon, but hopefully by the time I've read it out, something will occur. Dear Auntie Philippa and Uncle Quentin, thank you again for your help. I don't know why more people don't email you their questions to answer. Fair point, Anon. My question today is again about road safety. I followed your advice and not joined the speed checkers in the village, but it seems that if you drive a car, you get zapped all the time, even if you are going at 31 miles an hour, but anyone on a motorbike gets to speed as much as they like, and there's no zapping. This seems unfair to me, says Anon of Ambridge. What do you think? Well, we didn't say don't join the speed checkers, did we, Philip? We said don't try and make money out of it or something. Slightly missed the point. And motorcyclists get zapped if they're whizzing past a camera. They will get zapped. So I don't know what planet you're on, Anon. So go and do something noble in the community, but don't try and get money for it. And if you're on a motorcycle, you know, abide by the speed limit like we all do, don't we, Philippa? And I'm sure if you go to a magistrate's court, you will come across plenty of motorcyclists who've been zapped. But I grant you, sometimes they're going so fast that the police just can't keep up with them if they are chasing them. But a camera will get them, won't they?
Yes, I mean, I'm not trying to take Anon of Ambridge's side here, but I haven't heard anyone on a motorbike being zapped, as he calls it, by the speed detectors.
Wouldn't they be? They've got a number plate on, that's how you get caught.
Yes, so who knows what's happening, but sometimes life is unfair, Anon of Ambridge. But what we want you to do is just be responsible, tell us what steps you've made to get some paid employment, and let's move on, I think. But yeah, thank you anyway. So yes, thanks for your calls and emails and texts. We value them so much. Please keep them coming. And so to Facebook and our lovely Dum-de-Dum community there, as we sit back for the weekly roundup with Sue.
Hello, lovely people. Sue here, Queen of Tart on the Twitters. Well, it's been a week, hasn't it? And we've ended up with two men emerging from the airwaves. One, an absolute villain at face value, Vince Casey, and then an utter superstar in our Jazzer. Except for the bike trip. Every time you think someone's a true hero or a despicable villain, they go and spoil it all. Let's start with Vince, and also Ben was dragged into that. Our lovely Witherspoon said that Vince is a miserable human being. Discuss. Faking a medical emergency, Sally Princess Park said, I absolutely hated it when Vince did this to Ben. But Stephen Bowden replied, I don't think it's quite fair to condemn Vince on the basis of one, albeit deeply unpleasant, practical joke. Before this, he'd been really supportive and helpful to Rex over his piggies and has actually been very good for Elizabeth. Ged Robinson said, he's insecure in his own skin. I feel some empathy for him. His brusque behaviour is a coping mechanism. If he's shown acceptance, he's likely to change. Time will tell. Darcy Jorgensen said, I do not need repeated talking decades, intentional infliction of emotional and psychological horror, pain, humiliation from a family member. Beth gave Vince another chance and nope, same old game, control, walk away. And Katrina Owen added in, actually, Ben did really well for someone who didn't know what to do. He said he knew that they needed to keep calm, and then he called out asking for someone to call emergency services. Ben is on his way to making a great nurse, I'm sure. What a contrast that is with our next comment from Kate Lyle. Utterly outrageous behaviour by Ben. He's known Beth about 10 minutes. He knows nothing about her family history, and then he went against her wishes because he thought he knew best. Then steamrolled her and emotionally blackmailed her into making a decision she wasn't ready to make. Badly done, Ben. Badly done. And a quick side note on that one from Leslie Southgate. Could Josh possibly be more unpleasant? Poor old Ben doesn't stand a chance with him and Princess Pippa's siblings and a father who moans constantly and always expects the worst of his children. Oh, David. True to form. Anyway, let's move on and talk about the lovely thing that Jazza did, and Jim too. I love me a bit of Jimmus after Robert and Linda's not-so-successful three-course dinner. Marianne Howell said, I've just listened to yesterday's episode. We're not supposed to comment on the actors, but for me, I wish that Jazza was in every episode so I could listen to his voice. Because for her, it's all about the storylines and the characters, although we know that Ambridge doesn't exist. That's heresy. Marianne, you're not allowed to say that. I think it's good to comment as if it does. Having listened for over 50 years, these people are real to me. I can so relate to that. What a lovely thing to say. Darcy Jorgensen said, Bravo, Jazza! And I think lots of us were probably shouting at the radio at that point. Jean Bell said, He was wonderful. Just the right way to soothe poor Blake. And Marianne Grieve added, I loved it when they laughed together. Not something Blake does too often, I imagine. Keith Rawlins said, brace yourselves. Just out of interest, leaving the Snells home for the bewildered, what has Blake been doing for food and hygiene requirements? I would be careful where you tread around the hide area. Anyway, I didn't see any dissent in the group about Jazza doing the right thing. And 23 people said in the poll we put up that they would have done the same thing. A lovely follow-on from Jane Allen. There's a meme I can't find that says, don't give money to the homeless, they'll only spend it on drugs and alcohol. That's okay. That's what I'd do with it myself. And Gillian Holmes added, it's also paternalistic to refuse them money and give them, say, a coffee or a sandwich instead. I hadn't personally thought that one through, but I thoroughly agree with it. Margaret Slading said, I think Jazz has got it right. Not sure if I could have got the tones exactly what was needed to gain Blake's trust. Jazza, you're a top bloke. And just to end, I want to point out the addition by Claire from Clapham, who said, contact Streetwise, who will mobilise a local rough sleeper outreach worker. Very useful advice, which I will put into practice if I need to. I hope you all have a lovely week and you stay safe and well. Signing out.
Thank you, Sue, and everyone who's posted their thoughts on the Dum-de-Dum Facebook group. What a great community. Do join us there on the group. We'd love to see you.
And of course, we're also on Twitter, under at Dumpty Dum. Our great team always include the Archers hashtag using a capital T and A, so the visually impaired can enjoy any Archers-based tweets as well. Like our team, please do include at Dumpty Dum as well, so we can all see your tweets and keep our community growing.
As well as at DumDeeDum, we're both on Twitter. I can be found at QuickBook Review. How about you, Quentin?
I can be found at 13 Minute Man. That's 1-3 Minute Man.
And now it's time to crown our tweeters of the week.
We have three megastars here on the podium this week. I chose them right at the last minute. I did put a tweet out saying, look, the podium is bare. I put this out at the beginning of the tweet along. And two were from the tweet along and one from earlier in the week. So in bronze position, he's been on the podium before, folks. It is Ian Rutherian. And he says, why is Justin worrying about the wine when he's already got a Stella on the go?
Oh, ooh, very good.
Ka-ching. Bronze for you, Ian. Could have been gold another week. In silver, Jazza has featured hugely on this podcast, hasn't he? He's legions of fans. The one at the front of the queue and would tear anybody's eyes out to get her hands on Jazza at any moment is our lovely Jane Bramley. And she's got silver tweet this week, but she's not talking about Jazza. She poses this question. Isn't there a way to actually, you know, do some farming on Home Farm?
Yes, absolutely. I completely agree. I
mean, come on. The clue's in the title, farm. Yeah, so well done, Jane. And in gold position, so the Nobel Prizes are beginning to be given out, aren't they, at the moment? So in gold position, it's a shared gold position for two tweeters because Miranda at Apple Android App set this one up with, and it's a topical one, I'm wondering if Bert Fry and Kenton wrote Boris Johnson's Tory party conference speech. All those jokes and little substance suggest so.
Yeah.
To which Pat Brown at Pat LXT says, harsh on Kenton and Bert.
Very
so
good.
They're joint gold winners, Miranda and Pat Brown. But three excellent tweets this week.
Yes, very, very good. Thank you for that. Now, being British, we hate talking about money, but there are costs involved in keeping the podcast afloat. For instance, the website needs maintaining, there are licenses to be paid for, and there are various costs to pay with running the podcast for you.
So, dear listener, if you'd be interested in supporting Dumpty Dum, we would be ever so grateful. You can do this via the Patreon tipping system, which you can find on the Dumpty Dum website, or by going to patreon.com and typing in Dumpty Dum. It all helps deliver this podcast to your ears every week. And more importantly for Philippa and I, it gets Royfield off our backs.
And thanks again to the Paul family in New York for their brilliant, epic and original Dumpty Dum tune. And to Helen, Emily, Richard, Young Keith, Witherspoon, Drew, Chris, Sean, Melly, Christine and Anon of Ambridge for their calls, emails and texts.
Thanks also to our social media supremos, Cosmo for his podcast roundups, which you can find on our website, Shambridge for her voices, Mike Hatton for his character counts, and to our podcasting parents, Lucy V. Freeman and Royfield Brown.
So what will be revealed next week? Will Jazza launch his new motorbike road safety course in Ambridge? Will Lillian be baking every minute of the day to keep away from the cigarettes? Will Jenny have to come to terms with staying in their cottage with only one space for one tagine? And will Stella sue the whole of the BL board for being utter egotistical toads with no sense of equality and a preference for talking over any female in the room? All will be revealed. So it's a bye-bye from me.
And it's a very goodbye from me.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. and they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.